This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Babs Gray, and...
Merry Christmas from lady to lady. And always remember, Paul Dano collects teeth.
Yeah, Santa.
Santa, baby.
I'm Brandy Posey, and afternoon naps are great because you can sleep through your alarm and wake up in a panic twice in one day.
Yeah.
I'm Tess Barker, and I have a great ass, and I still have to write resumes. What the fuck?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got... show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Yay! That was Santa. Hopefully you could hear him, Santa from last year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He's a terrifying screenshot is how that...
He's really creepy.
Yeah, he's real close. He's a skinny Santa.
He's, you know, whatever. I was a little sad to not be at Santa. Me and Brandy worked at Santa last year.
No, I worked at Easter Bunny.
Yeah. I saw you.
You didn't do Santa?
No, I didn't do Santa.
Okay. Yeah,
I just came to hang out with Santa at one point.
I'm sorry I never visited you guys, and I meant to, and I'm at that Target all the time, and I really don't have an excuse.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I think that mall, I think I went into that mall for like the first time properly like a month ago.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I always just go to the Target.
Whoa. You haven't just walked to that mall? You haven't experienced
the rest of it? No, I should, and as much as I like to smoke pot, I think I really could have a fun day there.
It seems like a good pot mall to me.
I think so.
Everything is slightly off.
It's a very
strange,
it's a very bizarro world.
Yeah. Well, one thing that struck me upon entering was they had a claw machine, you know, where you grab the claw prizes.
Starbucks.
All, yeah, but it was all Starbucks to-go cups.
Yeah.
It was like, who is this for?
They have gift certificates inside them.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've sat at that thing and watched people try to get those. So they have gift cards inside.
Are they only for Starbucks or are they for different things?
They're only for Starbucks.
Okay, wow. I actually kind of might go play that.
You can't do it. Let's bring on our guest.
Absolutely.
She's an amazing comedian and DJ, Nina Tarr. Hi.
Hey, guys.
What am I doing with my hands?
I don't know.
This is not a visual forum. So I just did, for the viewers at home, I did a fun little hand signal.
Yeah, it was like a hand crystal.
It kind of looked like very masonry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's something that if Beyonce did, people would be like, see, she's in the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's like a Shaka Illuminati situation together.
Do you know what females in the Illuminati are called? Or in like the Freemasons or like the, they're called Rebeccas.
Wait, really?
Really?
Yeah. Because so the Mason range is like a... Like the Church of the Masonic Lodge, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They only have men.
Yeah, like bricklayers. And,
but
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you're a woman, you can join like the fold, but you're called a Rebecca.
Oh.
And do you have to go by Rebecca?
No. I think that's just like the term for them, you know? Like,
got it.
Like in the Simpsons episode where they're like, we're the Stonecutters. And it's like, we're the Rebeccas, you know?
Whoa. And then, I mean, so then it's like Beyonce says, why don't you call Becky with the good hair?
Whoa,
and
dude.
Then,
she is so she.
Ooh, here comes the chalkboard.
If you guys like
Let's
Alex Jones, you're going to fucking love everything that's going to come out of my mouth on this podcast.
That's usually what we say at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's, I
really
think that
similar
tracks.
Demographics, basically identical Venn diagram.
Real Rebecca that, Jones
that
situation.
Does remember, though, I was having this conversation with our friend Amber on Sunday, though, actually, about Beyonce being in the Illuminati and just this idea that, like, if the Illuminati exists and they're just leaving little puzzles for us everywhere about it, like, why? What's the end game?
Because they're bored and rich. And yeah. It
seems like a very on brand, like leprechaun thing to do. I feel like if I was like, they're like, describe what leprechauns do. I'm like, they like gold pots, they follow rainbows, probably little tricks places, make people solve them. You know,
And it's like, is there anything more decadent than having the time to fuck with riddles? Like that is like a rich.
That's what like
I
a boy
a riddle.
Does.
I've got shit to do.
That is like what it's like. Yes. Ooh, another riddle.
Let me see if we can solve this little brain equation.
A boy with
fuck
high
off.
Socks and like just lily white blonde hair.
Yeah,
well, because you have to like so part much. Of it. Yeah, what is it? Is it part of it supposed to be that you're communicating with other people? And that's part of it.
Okay, right? That to me makes perfect practical sense. Like, if it's just a message to the other initiated, I see that you would need a code. But the idea that you're throwing a bone to the commoners so that they can, like, do a word scrabble and, like, figure out your game. Like,
I don't think that's it. Okay. I don't think that's the gain. I think it's what you're saying before. I think it's also this, like, it's supposed to be this, like, dormant communication that is, like, just kind of washed over our regular kind of day-to-day like colloquialisms or whatever the fuck, right?
It's also a light gaslighting to be like, is Illuminati real? I don't know. There's just enough things
it's
that
like
make you wondering.
Like
but
misinformation.
Like,
if you flood the system with so much misinformation, then you don't know. If you're, you know, if it's too secretive, then it's kind of like the girl doth protest too much sort of thing, and then people can like figure it out. But so you gotta be like, I don't know, is it?
And then they're like, see, these crazy people think it is. It obviously isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely not.
It's like with aliens.
Don't pay attention to the hand thing I did.
Yeah. It's like with aliens, man. They make it seem like the people that see them are super crazy, but then like when there's a story that you're like, well, that sounds reasonable, then everybody looks crazy if you've seen an
fucking
alien.
Story finally, of my life. Someone is echoing the reality that is screaming in my brain 24 hours a day.
Hey, Nina, it's good to see you.
It's good to be seen for the first time in my whole life.
I got left high and dry recently because I was with some girlfriends and someone was like, well, you don't obviously believe in aliens, right? And I was like, well, I do.
Yes.
You don't?
It's selfish to not. What do you think? You're that fucking important?
Exactly.
Also, we need to redefine what alien means because alien is on a spectrum. Life is on a spectrum.
Yes.
So there's something that it doesn't necessarily have to have equivocal, intelligent life to us, but something that has, there could be plant matter, which does have, you know.
There's a bug somewhere that is on one of those planets. Yeah. That's a fucking alien.
Of course. How could you not think that? That's like just such a, also I think that, you know, there's things happening that are kind of unbeknownst to us. Like, we don't have the utilities in a quantum level to, like, see them or feel them or whatever it may be. Like, the best excuse that I heard for, like, when people have, like, paranormal, you know, activity happening or whatever is that it's actually our response to low-frequency noises. So we get this kind of, like, weird effect. It's, like, things that we don't really, like, hear that much or see. So then when we're experiencing them, we're like, this is spooky. But we're going to find out probably, like, you know, years later, like, oh, this is the scientific validity of what this is. Same with, like, you know, I'd say, you know, fucking hundreds of years ago when people are like, thunder, God's mad. And they're like, no, thunder is this. You
the
know,
angels
like,
are bowling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, crazy. Like, when it start raining or any sort of natural disaster. I mean, think about a fucking earthquake. Think about, like, it's 1352.
God farted. There's no science.
An earthquake happens, you're like, well, clearly this is what's happening. You know, this is fucking crazy. But I think we're going to be able to kind of pick apart and, you know, dissect things that, like,
what
we can't explain.
What do people think tornadoes were? Like, God flushing the toilet?
Dude, toilets don't exist, dude. Yeah. They're chamber pots, dude. Yeah. Barbara, wake up, dude.
It was God ear candling.
It was like God swallowing, dude. No, God's doing a bong rip, like, on the world, dude. Like, have you ever had, like a fucking bong, like in the chamber of a bong? I need to be arrested, dude. This woman
actually, that's what we have you here for.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, dang it. Classic podcast coup.
You know, we bring you on a podcast to remain silent. That's how the medium works. I don't know what to say. No, but I was watching not Planet Earth, but one of those last night. Mm-hmm. And, like, speaking of that, like, just regular nature is so trippy.
Shit's crazy.
Like, regular ass fucking explainable nature. Like, there was this one part where, like, there's this crazy desert where it never, ever, ever rains. It's like this wasteland that no one can ever survive. But, like, once every 10 years it rains, and somehow this flock of flamingos that lives 200 miles away knows that it rains and all comes there at once to fuck.
Oh my party. God, Buddy just like,
but he's just like eating Barbara's face.
I was not expecting that.
Look at these horny flamingos.
They're like, Buddy, it's our time.
Fucking in the rain. That's so Notebook of them.
You know? Honestly, it was beautiful.
Very
the
romantic.
Footage was gorgeous.
That does sound beautiful. Yeah. There's something really cool that there's like, we have certain biological predisposed like things that tether us to doing certain things. You know what I mean? They're just like, well, gotta go here and fuck this alcoholic skater. Was that a part of my
well, but would you rather
like
do
that? Exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. Is that a good like, analogy exactly. for yeah. this?
You're the flamingo and Orange County is the desert.
Yeah. I will say probably better than having to swim upstream for a millennia like the fucking salmon. That seems exhausting. Ugh, I'd be so burdened to have that as like a biological imperative.
I know, but not if it was, not if like that was just what you did.
What if you had to swim upstream to get like the best dick of your life, dude? What?
For how long? How long are we swimming upstream?
Seriously. I feel like I'm still swimming upstream in life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, true.
I think we're all swimming upstream and we just don't even notice it because it's our reality.
Damn.
Oh, damn it.
Hollywood, David
baby.
Lynch soundtrack.
We're all the salmon and then what is like Hollywood's the bear just eating you? Hollywood's the bear.
Yeah, dude. The system. Preach, preach. Nice.
Just butter me up and squeeze lemon on me before you eat me. Oh man, you guys, my butt hurts. I had an incident this morning. So I was on a run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stop bragging.
I know.
My butt hurts. I literally been working out so intensely.
Okay. And like, I get a nasty cold every year, probably because I smoke so much weed. I think every year, like my lungs are like, this is the
really?
Month. I think so.
I smoke a lot of weed. I don't.
You don't get a nasty cold every
year? Never. I never get sick.
Okay, well, that's actually good to know because then that means I can keep smoking weed.
Honestly, glad to be an enabler on this behavior. So.
Thank you. But I'm like, this is your, I'm not going to. And I had walked by this place yesterday that was one of these rooms you go to if you want to get like a hangover IV or whatever shot you need.
Oh, yeah. That's the white privilege palace.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so I was like, on my run, I'm like, you know what? After this, I'm going to go get a vitamin C shot. So I just like spontaneously went to one of those places. I was just like, yeah, shoot me up.
That's utilitarian. I support you.
You know what I mean?
The hangover intravenous things are like $300 and it's like, just eat some fast food.
Exactly.
And smoke some weed. You don't need to get like a $300 IV drip. Because it's like, I drank too many martinis last night and I don't want to feel bad about it. It's like, yeah. Well,
no,
suffer
I mean,
like the rest of us.
It's how much time are you really cutting out here? Like half a day? Like, come on.
It's only for, it's for professional athletes who can't help but like ravage their bodies the night before a big game. In fact, when you sign in on the check-in form, they ask if you're a professional athlete.
Whoa, oh, really?
Dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
wow.
And actually, Sean, my husband, works with a professional athlete who like regularly gets those. Like, wow. It's very common.
It's definitely that. Yeah, it's definitely
I'm gonna
like
get one now just for funsies.
Well, exactly. Feel like LeBron. Let's do this.
Yeah. You probably feel, if you're not hungover and you get it, you probably feel fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you probably just feel great, like super hydrated and like just like you're on a bunch of fucking beta blockers or something.
I kind of want to try both. Like the hungover one and the soap one.
Can we get, do you have to prove that you're hungover?
Can we get BuzzFeed to like fucking sponsor this?
I was gonna say, can't we blog about this?
Yeah, because it'd be like, all right, this woman like got one sober and then got one she got hungover.
I was thinking of doing a video of how many White Claws it takes to get drunk. So then this could be like my pitch to BuzzFeed.
I think like three. I'm going to go three.
Yeah. No, way more.
The alcohol content is 6%.
But they don't feel
like
anything.
It's a beer. It's basically a beer. How many beers?
But like an IPA beer, not even like a Coors Light.
Yeah, but not even IPAs. IPAs are like 9%. Like a White Claw, I think it's like 6%. It's like a regular, it's like a lager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never stayed on White Claw all night, but I would love to join you for that experiment.
I used to talk mad shit on White Claw and spiked seltzer, and then I had one, and I was like, that's pretty good.
Very good. It's very light.
It's very good. I'm really into it. I fully support it. But let's be honest, it's malt liquor.
Well,
it's just sparks.
It is it
that
malt liquor
going on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Like one of those things where
I don't drink, so I don't know about
they don't
clothes.
Tell you what kind of booze it is. They literally are just like, and liquor, and you're like, okay. So,
but you know what? I learned how to drink on malt liquor.
Ditto.
As most
you
of
know,
us did.
So I feel like just like if you learn to play the piano before any other instrument, like you'll that'll always be
in the bedrock of yeah. your personality.
Yeah.
Wait, so I'd like to I'm curious about your vitamin C
so
shot.
I go in here and I sign the thing and I'm like actually texting with Babs and so like I don't know, I just hadn't thought of it as being anything meat. I was like, I'll just pop in, get the shot and go.
Yeah. You know? It's like a B12 shot. You think it's just a quick grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman's like, okay, now stand here and pop your knee, which will like, you know, accentuate your butt muscle. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like still texting with Babs. And this woman plunges this needle Ooh. Into my ass. You guys, it hurt worse than a root canal, but in my butt.
What?
Ooh. It was like this nerve pain. And you know how most shots, like it's boom and then it's done.
Yeah. Real
this just kept going.
I think she did it bad.
No. Apparently the vitamin C shot is like their thickest, most like crazy shot. And after she gave it to me, she's like, yeah, this is the worst one. But like, it was like a full 30 seconds of gnarly, just like, and I could feel the liquid like going into my muscle. And I like came up and I was like, I'm going to faint. I'm feeling really, really lightheaded and I'm going to faint.
Yeah.
And the room was just like spinning and I was hearing that like ringing noise. Ooh. And she had to hook me up to an oxygen tank.
Was it worth it? Did you get sick?
I feel amazing right now.
Oh, okay. So it was worth it.
I think so. Yeah.
See, I get B12 shots every like, I don't know, like every month or so. Like if I'm like, all right, I got like a big weekend or like I have to shoot a bunch or do whatever.
Yeah.
Then I'll like do that like preemptively because they're only fucking $15 at the Hollywood Walk-In Clinic.
One of my favorite places in Los Angeles.
Right? That place is great.
So what is this B12? Like what does it do?
It's just, it sustains your energy. So it's like if you have like a big, or if you just feel kind of crappy, a little lethargic, if you're prepping for something. I mean, I don't know if it's kind of snake oil, you know, and it has a placebo effect, but even if it does, like it's $15
Whatever,
for me to feel
them.
Yeah, and the Hollywood Walk-In, I will say, is really a fun place. What I like about it is that they have all of these just shitty pictures of like, here's Fred Astaire.
He got his beat.
And they're like, Gloria Swanson. And you're like, really, her? Okay. And then it's like, Jimmy Stewart. It's like all old Hollywood photos are like, all right, here's fucking Doris Day, and like, of course, we got a classic Marilyn Monroe. We got a few of those up in there.
It's the same decor of like the dry cleaners in Hollywood.
Yeah. But it's just weird that they have that at a Hollywood Walk-In Clinic. I'm like, we don't need this, guys.
No, I can't say enough good things about the Hollywood Walk-In Clinic.
It's clean.
It's
the
clean.
One like right in Hollywood.
It's on Selma and Cahuenga.
Everyone works there is very nice.
Everyone's hot.
Yeah.
All the doctors
are. It was also a weed clinic, right? Or
yes.
Still?
Back in the day when you needed a weed script, you could also, like, literally, I have gone there and gotten strep throat medication and a weed prescription from the same doctor.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Damn.
And they cater to actors that, like, don't have insurance.
Yeah. Right, so it's really reasonably cool. priced. It's usually hot people in the waiting room.
Yeah. It's, like, the best place.
It sounds like a fun hang.
It's a cool hang.
I just want to go chill, though. Just go hang. Just go
it's a fun
put
hang.
Put a vibe in that
work
lobby.
Work on my screenplay.
Yeah. Oh, there is Wi-Fi in the waiting room.
Wow. Let's
not blow this spot up too much.
Somebody should do, like, headshots right there. Yes. It should just be, like, a one-stop shot.
Get one right after your B12 shot. Just, like, pose it out immediately. I'm ready.
Oh my god. So is your butt okay from your run?
Butt's fine from my run, but it's from the shot. My butt cheek still feels like I'm very inflamed. It hurts really bad.
Damn.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So is that outweighing the vitamin, like, where do we land?
I'm so glad I did it.
All right. I got advice for you because I smoke weed very regularly as well. I don't get sick. I used to get sick a lot. Do you sleep a lot?
I don't sleep enough.
No.
Okay. I sleep like, I'm an 8-hour bitch.
How you do it?
I sleep a lot. I sleep a lot.
Sleep helps.
Sleep helps a lot. And if you're about to get sick, do you use oil of oregano?
No.
That shit, you've got to buy that.
What's
that's
that?
Number one. So whenever you get, like, have you had, like, a face melter shot at, like, you know, Nature Well or whatever the fuck? Yeah. So it's like the, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm feeling a little under the weather, you do, like, it's like ginger, cayenne, oil of oregano, and what else do they usually put in? Like, lemon, something like that.
Sure.
But the oil of oregano specifically has, like, this, it's a natural antiseptic. Mm-hmm. And so when you have, you just do a few drops in, like, in a water if you're feeling sick. I mean, dude, I thought I just had a shitty immune system because I would get sick sometimes a few times a year.
Me
and,
too.
And starting when I was like pretty young, like a kid, up until a few years ago, and now I never get sick, and I'm like, I treat my body pretty well, but I drink alcohol, like I drink pretty regularly, and I smoke weed, and I stay up pretty late because of my job, and I'm like usually pretty fucking golden.
How often do you take the oil of oregano?
Just when I'm feeling a little under the weather.
When it's coming on a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just like, I feel like there could be something happening.
I think the sleep is the important thing here.
Yes. And a shit ton of vitamins. Do you fuck with vitamins?
No. I mean.
Oh, man.
No, I should.
You got to get turmeric up in there.
I do love turmeric.
Fucking turmeric pill every day.
I don't consider turmeric a vitamin.
Anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to love
turmeric.
Advil a lot.
Oh, I don't do Advil.
And I never take it anymore, dude.
Yeah.
Mm. Fucking, yeah. I don't know. I'm very healthy. I don't know why it doesn't make sense. I don't treat my body that amazingly.
You just said all these nice.
Yeah, but I drink alcohol and like, you know.
I mean, so do I.
I have sex with like dumb men. So like, it's like, those are two. Like,
oh, is that bad for your health?
I mean, of course it is.
You're probably building your immunity through the dumb men.
Oh my God, you're right.
It's like a kindergarten teacher.
This is not oil of oregano. Yeah. This is oil of alcoholic skateboarder.
Yeah, of Dave.
Yeah,
the essence of Dave.
You meet teachers for the first year they're a teacher, they're like sick all the time, and then they have this insane immunity.
Oh my God, yeah. My sluttiness is actually making me healthy.
Yeah,
this is so tight.
I think you need to write a book about this.
Oh my God. Yeah, just like make out with a bunch of dudes you meet at a bar for the next 5 years and then exactly be chill.
That is kind of my thing. I just don't ever worry about it and usually it works out.
Yeah, I think that's what it, I think that there's a lot of credence into that model as well. If you're just like, hey man, I just let it flow and then it comes on over to me.
See, I'm doing that and it's not working.
You're like, I'm not sick. This is fine. You're like falling apart. You're like leaking from the orifices in your face.
I mean, honestly, I just like weed so much that this is so bad. Like the reason I don't want to get sick is because I hate getting a cold and not being able to smoke weed.
Why don't you just vape?
Do you switch it to another?
Digital weed's different than flower. I feel you.
It's not the same. If you love like flower, it's not like.
I understand.
I'll do it for a few days and I'm like, I just want to smoke pot.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to avoid that travesty this year.
Yeah.
Do you like edibles and oils hit differently too?
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. Yes. Right. Edibles are just a roll of the dice.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh.
Even
great.
Now.
I can't look somebody in the eyes for the next 5 hours.
Yeah. Edibles? You're like, here's the thing. The cannabis industry wants to make you think that there are different kinds of edibles. There aren't. There's no sativa and there's no indica because it's going through your digestive system. So by the time it passes the blood-brain barrier, your body actually turns it into something called delta-hydroxy-3, I believe is the right name. And so it's actually literally a different substance.
That's why I feel so fucking...
Yeah, I completely believe that. That's like so. That makes so much sense because... I don't think it's as similar to like different types of alcohol affecting you differently. I think that's a bit of a misnomer, but I think that the way and like our cannabinoid receptors like receive this like THC, I think is completely like different. Because whenever I have an edible, not a big fan, but when I do, I'm like, this just feels like I'm on drugs.
Yeah, you know, like you're on like acid or something.
Or not even like it's like. I don't know, almost like a painkiller. Like I feel
it feels like
zonked.
To me too. Yeah.
Yes.
I take edibles for insomnia sometimes.
I just take it on a plane.
Or a plane,
when I just have to sit in a chair for a few hours.
Oh my God, that is my worst nightmare.
I love it, dude.
I would fucking tear everyone's face off.
I got so high on a plane and I was like, I'm gonna watch the fucking Luciano Pavarotti. I'm secretly 71 years old and I love opera so much, dude.
Do you go to the opera here?
No, I go to the opera in New York.
Wow, the New York opera?
The Metropolitan. I like to go to the Metropolitan Opera. It's fun, dude. I don't know. I love opera.
Do you have opera glasses?
I don't, but I got a few gowns.
Wow.
I just got a few gowns going around. I know for the listeners, I probably sound like a trash woman, but I'm pretty fancy.
No. You have many layers.
I have many layers. I'm not just a trash garbage girl, but...
No, this is what is amazing about today is we get to be all of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So most operas are in Italian or a different language, right?
It's Italian or French, some are German.
So do you like read the summary of like what you're going to watch before?
It's
like
pretty obvious what's going on usually, right?
They have a translator on the top of the stage.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah, okay. Or they have like at the Metropolitan Opera House, they have subtitles like digitally. Yeah,
yeah.
In front of you in the seats. It's very, very high tech.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. You don't necessarily, I mean, like, look, I think the beauty of
it's more the mood of the
Yeah.
I think the beauty of it is that it's in a different language, and then so it kind of affects you in a different way, and you can kind of placate your own narrative from it. And it's almost like, okay, we were talking about massages before we were recording, and I think the reason why I like going to like Thai places or Chinese places is because when the massage therapists are communicating with one another, it's in a different language. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to hear this, like, totally, you know, a girl named Jessica talk to her fucking coworker Charlotte about like, you know, like, oh, like blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm like, ugh, I like that it's in a foreign language. I'm like, I can disassociate from whatever is happening and just like view it in the own, in my own, like, I don't know, hemisphere. You know?
Yeah, also, I just feel like Italian in particular is such a horny, like, beautiful language.
Fucking love Italian.
Manja, manja,
my favorite, my favorite language is Portuguese.
I'm Portuguese.
Oh my God. Brazilian Portuguese in particular. Well. Oh my God. Oh, you're from Portugal?
Yeah, Portugal. Cool. And it's like a different language.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Brazilian Portuguese is also beautiful.
I just love Brazilian music, and I love just like Bach Macumba. You know?
Like, I love Brazilian
It's like really bouncy.
Yes.
It's like a weird bouncy language. It's so cool.
And it kind of matches like the ethos there. Like Brazilian people are very bouncy and sing-songy, and I love Brazilian people.
I love it. Ugh. Yes. I need to go to San Paulo.
I want to go to San Paulo, too. I want to go to Carnival really bad, too.
That would be sick.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite stepmom is from Brazil.
Your favorite stepmom?
Yeah.
My stepmom.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're Nina.
Hi. Hi. So this is my real voice. I know you guys are probably confused because you've heard a lot of different ones, but this is my resting voice.
Wouldn't that be so crazy, dude?
Oh, the rumor mills are churning in Los Angeles comedy scene.
Lady to Lady podcast reveals.
Nina Dush, real voice.
God, that is what it feels like with just like comedy, like gossip, and just, it's so funny. There's just always something going on. It's like, God damn it.
Oh yeah.
Fucking Kumail's abs came out yesterday.
Oh my God. That was breaking
Twitter,
the internet, dude. It's like
Twitter fell apart.
Yep. Really? Yeah. Twitter fell apart. What
no,
happened?
I just mean, you know, everyone just like,
it was
a little take on it.
You know what's crazy, dude? Kumail goes to the same gym as me, bodybuilders on Hyperion.
Oh, really?
I've seen there all the time. There. He has a trainer, and I'm like, yo, you've been working on that when I was there. Like I see him there all the time.
Yeah,
and so
Crispin Glover also goes to that gym. Crispin Glover with those exact same photos.
Maybe he got some like vampire blood from Crispin Glover.
Oh, that would make sense. Did.
Okay,
he's probably
would you guys smash Crispin Glover?
Yes,
obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
I think his workout is just like him, just like hanging from the rafters in the corner and hissing abs onto himself.
I fucking love Crispin Glover.
He's the best. He's amazing. Him in that Charlie's Angels movie.
Oh my god.
Where he's just like ripping out Drew Barrymore's hair and smelling it.
Yeah, that's hot. I mean, what? He
yeah,
said
it's
that,
weird.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. It is in a way that I'm troubled by. But yeah.
I like Back to the Future Crispin Glover.
Well, yeah.
Oh, duh.
He's great in that too.
Yeah, he's really good. Because
he seems attainable.
Mm-hmm. He was also, River's Edge, Crispin Glover. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number one.
I don't know. Wilfred. Is that what it's called? The rat one?
Oh. Yeah.
I think it's
not Wilfred.
It's something like that.
I know what
name.
You're talking about.
It's a name. What is it?
Crispin Glover rat. Hold on.
I think it's Willard.
It's so close.
Willard. So close. Yeah, that's my grandfather's name.
Aww.
Willard.
See, it's meant to be, if you ever meet him, you have a pickup line.
That's
yeah.
True.
Exactly.
Hey. Made a movie about rats. It was my grandfather's name. So you want to rip my hair out or what? I just gave him clippings. Like, I thought that you would like this.
Hey, yeah.
Present a bunch of hair in a
bouquet. I wanted to rip it out. Oh, it's not funny if you give it to me all like this.
He's just, poor guy. Every time he gets his hair cut, it's probably somebody's like, hey, you want the shavings? What do you want?
No, that was a character.
He seems like a whisper man.
Yeah, definitely.
I bet he's pretty chill, guys.
I bet he's like probably pretty mellow, actually.
Honestly, I don't think I could have a 5-minute conversation with him.
What? Yeah, he definitely could. Nah. He seems interesting.
There's probably like some persona shit happening there, too.
Yeah, and I bet he's into like D&D.
But people who are into that don't necessarily, that's not what they talk about.
Yeah.
It's not?
Yeah. No, it's not. That's
it's like people that go to Burning Man, like they don't always talk about Burning Man. See, is it an indelible part of their personality? Yes. Does it make you want to hang out with them? Probably not.
No, see, I feel like I could have a conversation with anyone who goes to Burning Man more than Crispin
Glover. Oh, really? See, I feel like me and Crispin could really get some talking points on that.
Yeah.
It'd be like, hey, Crispin, that's a fun name. Derivative, yeah. Please.
Crisp.
Be like, what? Hey, Chris, what is that from? Mm-hmm. Is that like Croatian? Is that Lithuanian? Whoa, it's a derivative. Yeah, I don't know. What is he? Is he just like regulatory, like standard issue white guy?
Seems like it.
He's probably like, you know, he's probably like German, Irish.
I'm just saying, look for him in the gym. You guys become gym buddies.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah.
Texting each other at 5 a.m, like, hey, we got to go.
Sometimes at the gym, I'll do like, I mean, yeah, I definitely want to do like something at the gym to Crispin where I'm like, just see what happens.
Just picking up a little 2 pound.
Oopsies.
Did I do that? That's what you have to
do. Yeah.
Did I
do that?
Anyway, Crispin, you like Urkel? He's a fun guy, right? He seems like he like spits on women during sex, though.
Totally. And also,
yeah, and I don't like that.
Oh, why not? Wait, why not? What do you mean?
It's gross. People are gross.
What?
Yeah. He could be like he seems like a head pusher, maybe. I don't know.
It's a wild card. I could see it going like any direction. I could see him being kind of lazy.
Oh, definitely.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Starfish dick. Mm. Yeah. Mattress back.
Yeah.
Starfish dick. It's okay. Oh, wait. So.
No, I see.
Starfish dick.
No, okay, so.
I see. I did the math in my head. I understand. Yeah.
I actually had a separate thought. But so I keep seeing the word sunfish on the internet. Have you guys seen this?
No.
So in like one of those, you know, like fucking Facebook women's groups I'm in, people will post something and they'll be like, my sunfish, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck is that mean? On? I found out that they're saying it instead of man because Facebook is like targeted people who say that like, men suck or whatever, and some people are using the word sunfish instead
of
men.
Wait, what?
I feel like I just gave away a secret that I shouldn't have.
Wait,
but
no, we should know about this.
Wait,
if you see anyone say sunfish,
like sunfish, like fucking sunfishes must die.
It's a it's a very weird. I don't know
what,
but if you see it on the internet, that's what it means. Just so y'all know.
I do know that Facebook was being really shitty about people who were talking shit about men. And it's like,
I can't fuck with Facebook anymore, guys. I'm done. I don't want to get invited to like an MLM by somebody that like was mean to me in middle school. I'm fucking done.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, I haven't noticed I'm selling leggings. They're 20% off. I'm clutching for the internet for relevancy.
It's so sad. How does it keep happening?
MLMs?
MLMs?
Yeah.
You listen to the podcast.
Well, I did.
The Dream?
Especially to everyone, multi-level marketing.
Oh, like pyramid schemes.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Did you listen to The Dream, Brandy?
No, I didn't.
It's
a great podcast.
Yeah?
It's very good.
This is a great plug in a podcast. Yeah. Yes.
And
podcast.
Like, just giving them that free plug-a-roo. But it is a really good show. But it's about,
well, you know, if we plug their podcast, they plug 5 more for us.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then we just need them.
Yes.
And then actually by the end, we'll be the top podcast and we all get a pink Cadillac. So
actually, that is what we're working towards.
It is actually. But basically the reason that they persist, it's actually kind of speaks to this huge like economic problem. It's mostly women that do it because it's like moms that have been pushed out of the workplace and need a way to make money in the home.
Yes. And they also try to give them this false sense of agency.
Yes. Yeah,
where it's like, you know, and they prey upon a lot of immigrants as well. So Herbalife especially would be like, you know, you came to this country and, you know, you might be a house cleaner or you might be doing janitorial work.
But you can
or
be an something entrepreneur
like
on the side.
Yes, and they think about it, that whole kind of mechanism of the American dream you can be your own business person. Mm-hmm. They don't think that the U.S. has loopholes in it that can make for a very nefarious kind of system. They're like, especially if you're coming from like Mexico, you're like, oh, I came to the U.S. because this is a very like proper country that's like run in a way where things like there's not corruption happening on this level. And so then they end up like spending so much money because they call it in the podcast like work with dignity. So it's like, you know, let's say that they work for somebody now. They're like, oh, look, I'm a business person. People call me sir or miss. And like, it's so fucked up. And a lot of these MLMs are connected to religious affiliations.
Yeah.
So and organizations like a lot of them are Christian based. And so they kind of prey upon people's
faith. God wants you to succeed and God wants you to have.
And if you leave, they do this crazy shit where they're just kind of like, well, I guess, you know, like God. The Lord's spirit, I guess, hasn't been that vibrant within you lately. And, you know, so then they kind of really test your relationship with your own faith as well.
So
I mean, it's
fucked.
It really is so, so fucked up. And it's so interesting just the way, I mean, look, I fucking, this is what's so crazy about it and how kind of to unearth like this whole thing. When I started listening to that podcast, The Dream, especially in the first episode, I was like, oh my God, I was in a pyramid scheme.
Really?
A few years ago, I was in a pyramid scheme. It was called the Women's Circle. So if anybody's out there listening
I've heard of this.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It is complete. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I'd love to talk. This is amazing because I've never talked about this before.
Yeah. Ooh, shit.
And it's really like, because I just listened to that podcast like a few months ago and I was listening to the first episode where they talk about the airplane game. The airplane game is basically like, I'll kind of try to give you an abridged version, but they're like, okay, we have, there's two pilots that have the plane. Then there's the passengers. Then there's like the person who owns the plane is at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what they do is that the people from the bottom, like if you come in, you give $500 to the pilots and the pilots give that like, but it, I don't know how it fucking works. Like structurally.
The way they explain it on the podcast, though, you as a rational person are like, I could see how I would think I would make money off of that.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in women's circles. So I got approached by a woman who was a friend of mine. And again, people that are in pyramid schemes, especially at lower levels, they are not trying. They think they're helping you.
Yeah,
that's really because they've been telling themselves that they've been helping themselves. And so it's when somebody, your trusted confidant, will bring you into the fold. A family member is usually how you get in. And you're like, oh, this person wouldn't do me wrong, but they don't think they're doing you wrong. They don't think they're doing themselves wrong. So I got asked by a good friend of mine. She was like, hey, I got asked to join this women's group. And I was like, that sounds great. She's
Love
like, yeah, we
group.
Talk every week on the phone. It's like a group chat. And there's we talk every week on the phone. We like the kind of leader, she gives us like assignments and everything. So this is how it works. The leader is the dessert. Okay. Then outside of that kind of concentric circle, there is two entrees, and then there are four appetizers. So you, the ground floor is an appetizer. You come in, you pay $500 to the dessert. So she's.
But what was it to do? Was there a product or it was
nothing?
Just,
no,
like,
just for the
remember
support.
Remember on the Dream, they talk about the airplane game. There's no product. It's
this
just
is
like
the exact same as the airplane game. When I listened to that first episode, I was like, whoa, wait, I was in a, oh my God, yeah, well, did I ever get that money back? No, because they didn't recruit anybody. I didn't recruit anybody because then I, the longer I was in it, I was like, I don't know, but it was weird. It wasn't, because some pyramid schemes are all different. Like some are like require you to buy product, you know, and then you keep getting deeper and deeper in, but some are just flat rate. You pay $500 or whatever, $1,000, and then you're like, okay, if you want to make that money back, you can, but you can, you know, you got to recruit somebody to do this, and that's how, you know, then you split off. So basically the goal is that all the appetizers, like every appetizer could get one person. If you get one person, then the group, then you become an entree. And then this group would split because then all your appetizers then would get another person, then you become the dessert.
I see.
You could do the circle again if you want. Exactly like in the airplane game.
Wow. So is there like a super dessert that gets a part of
no,
that money
No, because then
too?
You would just get back down into a new group.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
The dessert would then leave the circle. And yeah, it was this whole thing. This happened to me. This is like 5 years ago. I was all for it. I was like, and I knew a lot of the women in the group. There were like a lot of my friends. And I was like, well, all my friends are doing it. So this seems legit.
What are you guys talking about in these groups? Is it just like...
Like harnessing female energy. Like a shit that I'm super into.
Yeah.
And like a lot of my female... And that's what's so fucked about it. They preyed upon women who were trying to do good for other women. And that's what was so dark about it. I was like, oh my God, I got so tricked, because I was like, oh my God, I'd love to be able to connect with like this femininity with like this group of women. Some I know, some I don't, learn about their experiences. We can kind of, it was a therapeutic group. Mm-hmm. That's what the point of it was. So it's like, you think like, oh, this doesn't seem fucked up at all. It's also, there's no product linked to it. It's not this capitalistic thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. So all of it, like from me coming in, I was like, oh yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And then it wasn't until, that's how good of a pyramid scheme it is, that it wasn't until I listened to the dream when I was like, that was a fucking pyramid scheme.
So what made you leave?
This is super juicy. This is crazy. One of the girls in the group, and this had never happened to me before, but one of the girls in the group, she's a friend of mine, been friends with her for years. I was dating this guy, and I threw her a birthday party. This guy met her at the birthday party, this guy that I was dating. And then they started fucking behind my back. And then I was like, I found out like a week later, he like called me crying because male fragility, he should feel bad, right? Yeah, yeah. And so he calls me, he's like, oh, I've been sleeping with him. And I was just like, okay, you guys both suck. Bye to you both. And then she was like, hey, she never apologized. She was like, listen, I just feel like you guys didn't have a really strong connection and we did. And I was like, okay, we can't be friends because your morality is different than mine.
Yeah.
She still wanted to be friends. And I was like, just respect the, like, I just think there's a few things in a friendship.
Yeah.
I think a cornerstone of it really is morality. If you say that, look, if I think like, you know, XYZ is wrong, I disagree with it, and you think XYZ is fine and you agree with it, that's fine and that's totally your prerogative, but we can't align. There's certain things and I'm like, well, I just don't feel the same way, and that's an integral like human level, and so we can't be friends because of this. So I was like, just respect my you know, wishes and my distance. Anyway, I had to still be in this group with her. And I was just like, you are in a women's group and you fucking fucked your very, very close friends, like dude she was dating, met him while she was throwing you a birthday party. That's what was so, and I was like, this is such bullshit. I don't want to be in a group with a woman that, and I even talked to like the fucking dessert about it. And I was like, I just don't feel, I swear to you, dude. I was like, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't. And she's like, well, maybe we can move you to another group. And I was like, I just don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this. I was working a lot at the time, and they would make me feel guilty for missing calls. We'd have a conference call at like 7 p.m. every Wednesday. And I'd be like, I work freelance. I'm like, well, I got to do this. And they're like, well, it's just like some of us are trying a little harder. And I'm like, all right, suck my dick. No. Nobody makes you feel guilty about like me working on like cool shit.
No.
And this fucking chick fucked the dude I was dating. So peace. So I just bounced. And I was like, I'll take the loss. I don't care. Because the thing too, it made me feel like it was my choice that I left.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, fine. Did it work? Whatever. Did the money? I'm like, fine, whatever. That's a loss. I gave money away, and that's a loss, and it's fine. And I just decided to, like, wash my hands clean of it, and I didn't want to be associated with it anymore. And so I left.
Was it, like, a one-time fee? Or like okay. Like,
and then if you can join again, if you'd like, kind of, and start from the bottom of the pyramid.
God.
But it's like, you don't feel bad bringing people in because you're like, we're all going to make money. Yes. All you have to do is bring that next person and they're going to make money too.
They don't.
So you're not seeing the end where it will eventually run out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you only know so many people, whatever it may be. Uh-huh. But also, it's so funny. They call it women's circle because they act like it's a concentric circle. It's like dessert and then fucking entrees and then appetizers. And so they don't think, it's like, that's a fucking pyramid. Four, 2, 1.
Yeah.
By the way, appetizers are my favorite part of the meal. So they got the whole order wrong, I think, too. You know what I mean?
Also, what woman gets appetizers and dessert? You know what I mean? Oh my God. Like, geez, honey.
Not going to indulge. Yeah.
Pretty juicy. That's fucking crazy. A salacious story, right?
Yeah. I think so. When were you supposed to get paid, or did you get paid? Like,
if I recruited somebody,
then
they would pay me $500. So I'm paying whoever recruits me. So it's not like the dessert gets it. It's like how does this work? It's like,
is it like a deposit that then you get back if you bring in somebody else, kind of?
Well, no, because it's not a deposit.
Because
money's not yours.
$500 to the dessert, so.
It wasn't. Okay, I think I gave $500 to the entree.
I'm trying to remember how the dessert
makes. It's purposely confusing.
Money.
Of course, yeah.
If we Wikipedia pyramid scheme, I'm sure there would be literally a diagram that shows how it's an unsustainable model, but looks like on the surface it is sustainable.
It is a miracle of God that I was never pulled into one. I have no idea how I avoided
I know,
this.
Same, yeah. Very, I'm lucky.
Very, very proud of you, Tess.
Thank you. Because I love, like, get-rich-quick schemes.
I remember this girl from high school that I hadn't talked to, and we'd been friends, and we had a weird high school falling out. We hadn't talked in years, and then she called me up out of nowhere a few years ago and tried to get me in on some acai berry juice
shit.
Oh,
my God.
And I was like, this is what you're going to call me for? You're not going to, like, you know, like, we stopped being friends because, like, you didn't apologize because you're a shitty friend. And then you're going to call me 5 years later and try to, like, pull me into. I was like, are you trying to get me involved in a pyramid scheme? And she's like, what? No, it's just a really good juice. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
I was like, I got juice.
It's the desperation. That's what happens is that, like, the desperation starts to, like, weigh on you. And then you're just like, contacts. Somebody. Who can I reach out to? And
you're it's like, essentially the entertainment industry, but with leggings.
Yeah.
Like, you get to it where you're like, okay, you just gotta, like,
let's get somebody in here.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, man, I
who can I call? Who do I know?
It's a bringer show for fucking appetizers.
I mean, it is, like, I'm impressed that it had to make so many people get over their phone anxiety. Yeah. Like, they're talking to people because they just got
but
so desperate.
I think probably part of it. Like, that's part of how they fuck with you is, like, any hesitation that you might be feeling. It's not because you're in a shady situation. It's because you just gotta get the nerve.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
like, you control your destiny.
That's really what
you want to live the American dream.
That's a crazy thing that it preys upon is that, like, oh, well, listen, your inability to make money in this is kind of all on you because you are actually the arbiter of your own business. And if you can't do it, then, well, that's just kind of your fault. It's not the product. It's not the product, my friend, okay? And it's not the look, other people are making money.
Is
you know?
There, like,
it's
just like a person that developed this? Like, is there, like, a figurehead of some kind?
The airplane guy is, I think, the first one.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it started, like, one of the first, like, the history of MLMs. Like, it started with, like, Amway, which is still, like, an actual...
Amway's still around.
And the most power... And Mount. It goes all the way up to, like, presidents. Like, Obama name-dropped Amway in a State of the Nation speech, I think.
Yes. And then there was... So it started with Amway, Tupperware parties, actually.
Yeah.
You know, with
sex,
like,
toy parties, all that kind
of
shit.
And like Mary Kay. But, like, I think it's probably started, I would assume it started probably, like, after, like, in the 40s, maybe? Like,
I
when there's economic boom after World War II.
They talk about, remember there was that one of the first primitive ones was about, it was like a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday
that's what
magic.
It was.
Holiday magic.
Yeah.
But I think it is, like, post-war economic boom. The country has never seen this type of money happen before. And so at first, I think that it was a sustainable measure because pyramid schemes do work for the people that first get involved.
They
totally work.
Well, and also women had just been kicked out of the workplace again and wanted to
have some agency.
Yeah, have that agency.
Right.
And be like, okay, well, you know, I used to actually... you know, have some value in the workforce. And now let me acquire that again by, like, but in a way that doesn't threaten my husband.
Exactly. It's all in the domestic sphere. You're just having girlfriends over for drinks.
And, like, facial products. I mean, makeup is obviously a huge one.
When I was a kid, I remember a couple of times, I don't think we ever ended up buying stuff. My mom had a few friends through the church that would, like, be like, you're a summer or an autumn. And then they do so much makeup on your face. And I'd be like, I'm 10 and wearing eyeshadow.
You look like JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah, my mom got pulled into some too. Because do you remember USANA?
Yes,
that's a pure. That's a vitamin company.
Yeah.
So there's a few. I'm gonna just name some of the. Some of the pure, like, some MLM companies that, like, we wouldn't think. So Rodan and Fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's that's a skincare line that actually is pretty good, and a lot of but the way that it works is.
But the good stuff. I still don't understand what the problem is if it's good. Like, if it's product that I would want to buy anyway, is it really a problem to buy it from, like, my friend?
No.
If it's helping them.
But you're buying it from your friend, but what they don't – it's like what they lay out in that podcast, which is they don't want you – to just buy the products, they want you to buy the line. So then you become a seller.
Right.
That's the whole goal, that you become a seller. Not that you just buy products. You just buy products and it doesn't do anything for their bottom line because you have to buy in. You have to get the developer kit, you know, the starter pack.
It takes the risk off the company and puts it on – it exploits you as, like, a person within it. Yeah.
Yes. And so there's, Rodan Fields, USANA, Juice Plus – That's another Herbalife.
A lot of juices for
Juice
sure.
Juice Plus is the is another like vitamin company. Okay. So vitamins are a big one because they say like they'll just be like, you know, you can't get this product anywhere else. Okay. And that's why, you know, you're not going to see it in stores because it's really special.
I know doTERRA or whatever that essential
doTERRA,
oil
is. Exactly. Is?
Yeah. Lularoe. Yes.
I think doTERRA. Thrive is one. My cousin is always posting about some shit.
So some of these products are in stores. So doTERRA has these mints that are, it's like,
I've seen those.
Those are in store. So it's like, some of them are legit. They are legit products. So I think it's with any business, like in terms of its like validity, it's on a spectrum. There's some like total horseshit fucking shitty companies, and there's some that are, you know, pretty legit, but they still operate in this kind of modus operandi that is exploiting people that are coming in or trying to exploit people. But they have such a brilliant way of masking that and kind of circumnavigating what you either like, no, don't look over there. It's this.
You know? Is it uniquely American or are there like international ones?
I think it is American because of the loophole that we have in our, we have the least amount of business regulation. Yeah. One of the least amount
that
of business regulation.
That goes back to the Amway going all the way up to the president thing. They keep loosening the regulations.
Yes. And so that's why, because a lot of companies, especially in like Europe, a lot of people don't want to start companies in Europe because there's like not really a kickback. You don't get a tax break. Most of all my family live in Europe. I'm like the only person in my family born in the US. Mm. And so my aunts and uncles live in Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. And a lot of my family own some businesses in Germany. And they're like, you just don't really make that much money. Mm. It's just not what it is.
Interesting.
I mean, they're democratic, you know, it's a democratically run social government, you know, socialist government.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm getting deep, guys.
Deep.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is like supposed to be a comedy podcast. And I'm
We do this all the time.
This goes fucking word spirals.
We have to take a break, but there is just like a product I really want to talk to you guys about. Trust me, your skin is going to be. We'll be right back. Hey, y'all. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Nina Tarr, who's putting on one of her
many chapsticks.
50 chapsticks and numbers.
I'm crazy, dude. I gotta lather these lips.
You guys wear lipstick when you know you're gonna eat a lot of food?
No. I never wear lipstick, so no.
I wear lipstick post meal.
Post, that's usually my move,
too. That's what I should do, because I love lipstick. It's like one of my favorite makeups.
Yeah.
And like if I'm going out to a nice dinner, I normally would like want to put on a lip.
Yeah.
But then I just, you know, end up fucking up
eating,
a wedge salad.
They're just basically eating lipstick.
Yeah.
I also don't wear lipstick if I'm wearing like a white like blouse, because I know that I'm going to like do something. I'm so fucking clumsy. It's ridiculous. I like will spit. I like can't wear white. It'll just be like, it'll be clean for 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I will say, this is a little teaser for the oh my God. For the top secret session, this is reminding me because it was after a family meal that I had, but I have an extremely insane, embarrassing story to tell.
Oh my God.
So if you're
very excited,
if you are not a Patreon member and are curious, go to patreon.com/ladytolady to hear this. I can't even believe I'm going to tell you guys.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
I'm very excited for this. Holy shit.
Horrific.
Oh, I can't. I mean, I'm sure we all have horrifically embarrassing stories that we probably think are like, there's like stuff that I'm like, it's too much. Like,
I don't necessarily, I have to tell someone just so I don't have to live with it.
Sure.
You need to like exercise it from yourself a little bit. Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Anyway, if you're curious about that, go there and check that out.
Can't wait.
But first, let's answer some advice.
Let's do a lady problem. Mm-hmm. If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com and we will talk about it on the show.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi,
Hi, ladies. I talked about my lady problem on the Live at SF Sketchfest episode in January, and I have so many updates that I know you all love. I was the one dealing with my best friend's shitty slut-shaming boyfriend, trying to figure out how to tell my friend how uncomfortable and hurt her boyfriend's, quote, jokes make me. I'd been keeping my feelings about her boyfriend a secret from my other close friends because I didn't want to influence their opinions of him. But after being on the podcast, the floodgates were open. Later that night, I met up with another close friend for drinks and revealed that I wasn't the biggest fan of our friend's boyfriend. And her immediate reaction was, thank God, I hate him too.
Great moment.
Yeah. Oh, it feels so nice. As it turns out, she'd also come to the same conclusion that he was a total dick based on completely separate events from the ones I had witnessed. So at this point, I realized he wasn't just making rude, offensive jokes to me. This friend had also witnessed him being very rude to our friend, the one dating him, which wasn't something I had personally seen and was very upset to hear about it. Slowly but surely, other friends have also admitted that they don't like him very much. So now I know that I'm not just being sensitive. This guy straight up sucks. After 8 grueling months of hashing all this out with my therapist, I decided it was finally time to talk to my friend about it. I'd been putting off the conversation because we live in different states. I wanted to do it in person, but never wanted to risk ruining the few times a year that we get to see each other when she visits me or I visit her. I had a trip planned to visit her for a few days, and it finally felt like the right time. So on the first night of the trip, when we were just having a low-key hangout in her apartment, I finally spilled the beans. She was incredibly understanding and very receptive to everything I had to say. She says she didn't want me to feel anxious or uncomfortable around him, so she wanted to have a talk with him about his behavior. It didn't put a wrench in our friendship at all, and ultimately I've spent some time with him since then, and he's been much more pleasant to interact with. So whatever conversation she had with him must have worked. Sounds good, right? Well, the issue now is that even though he's behaving better, I still think this guy's an asshole. I think if you have to have a conversation with your partner about being nice to your best friend and not making insulting jokes about them, that should be a red flag. I fear that he may be treating her similarly, and based on the way she seems to blame herself for a lot of their arguments, she'll say things like, I was on my period, so I think I was just being overly emotional. I have a feeling that he's gaslighting her a lot of the time. They're getting ready to move in together in the next couple of months, and she told me the other day that they plan on getting engaged next fall.
No.
Obviously, a lot can happen in a year, but as of now, it seems that this guy isn't going anywhere. So basically, any advice for dealing with your friend's shitty boyfriend who may be around forever? I think at this point in life, I've learned that you can't tell people what to do, and nothing I can say to her would make her break up with him, but man, this is some unfortunate shit. Love you ladies so much. Thanks again for letting me share my lady problem on the podcast. It was such a fun time. Hope to see you all in SF soon.
This is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very universal struggle, I think, though.
Yeah. And we've kind of, we've had like problems similar to this before, but I think less where they've already talked to them about their person. So it's kind of like, once you do that, it's up to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it fair to say, you kind of have to let it go. Yeah. I mean, it's not your life, it's her life. And, you know, she lives in another state as well. And, you know, I think you can still, obviously you can still be friends with this person. I understand that she's concerned for her, like, friend's well-being and, like, her future. But she's also an adult. And she may like this. She might love this person for other reasons. You know, we make compromises in relationships. We're like, well, I like that, you know, this person allows me to be this way and, like, or brings out this kind of behavior in me, which I actually like. You know, it's all about dynamics. But, yeah, you kind of just have to nod your head and grit your teeth and give her a thumbs up, right? I mean, that's the case.
Exactly that.
It's kind of like, it's just like, because what are you going to do? She's spoken her piece. Yeah. At this point, then it'll just be like, you know, then it's almost offensive if you kind of like then malign the partner again. It's like...
Yeah. And I mean, I think the upshot, I would focus on the upshot, which is that like his behavior around you has changed. So like the main thing that you had, you know, an actual like reason to say something was like his behavior towards her, and that changed. So that's good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
So now you like, hopefully you can hang out with the two of them and you're not going to feel uncomfortable. But that said, I think like, you know, use your judgment, but like if it feels like she's telling you a story that is super gaslighty, I think you can like pause and like don't just let her, you know, take it as fact that she was being overly emotional. Maybe be like, why do you think that?
Yeah.
Don't say like, I think he's a fucking controlling asshole, but maybe just
be there for your friend more, instead of like, if you know that he might not give her like the support that she needs to go through certain things, you can just be a better friend to her and like have that. You can be the emotional support in her life if her partner unfortunately doesn't have that for her.
Or just like question her. I like the idea of like questioning her back on stuff, to be like, let me change your look at it from this angle instead, in a different way.
And look, I mean, she might figure it out herself. I mean, like, you know, she could figure it out, like, something could happen, you know? I mean, we all have friends, I'm sure, that, like, their partners are like, you're like, really, this fucking guy, you know? Like, I don't get it, but...
Yeah.
I just don't really want to hang out with them while they're with said partner, which is fine.
But it's workable.
It's
like,
totally
you do girls' nights, you do shit. Yeah. I don't know, like, it's, I feel like adulthood is a series of this fucking guys.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, and it sounds like you guys, like, visit each other and, like, you're already hanging out kind of separate, like, just plan as much stuff, like, kind of just with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I think friendships also, like, we have, there's so many people in my life that I've been friends with for a super, super long time, and sometimes you have, like, this really great closeness, and then that plateaus for a minute and then comes back again and plateau. You know, it's like, there's like some women I've been friends with for like 15 years and we're like really close. Then like maybe they were like, you know, then really invested in a relationship or a career path. And then we kind of stop talking for a little bit, but there's always love there. And then we come back because some life things happen and, you know, it's like a different course. So this might be like a little, not to make it negative, just to like, I think this is like a peaceful way to look at it, because there's people that kind of come in and out of your life for reasons. And then it makes your space in your own life to allow other people to come in too. So like, maybe this is like a little moment.
Yeah.
You have a little pause and then you come back and, you know.
Well, yeah, your adult friendships feel very different from like your childhood friendships, because it's just, you just have more responsibilities and things that you are beholden to in your own life that you want to do. So, you know, you can't like talk to somebody every day on the phone for like 2 hours a day, every day for the rest of your life. That would be, there's no time for that
and
shit.
And you don't really, like, I think, I mean, I love engaging with like new people or just like coming back to old friends that I haven't like connected to in a while, because they then start to incite different parts of you. And like during your life, you know, that's why sometimes like, you know, if you go through a breakup or something and then like you're like, oh, I'm hanging out more with like my other female friends that are single. And before I was hanging out with some of my friends that were in relationships,
totally.
And, you know, you kind of, it's really nice, and they can, you know, it's, I think, a more well-rounded social experience for yourself.
And also, I just feel like you're not, I think it's one fallacy that people play into a lot with romantic relationships, is thinking that one person's going to be everything to them. Like, I just don't think that's how humanity works.
Totally.
Like, that's why we have romantic partners and friends. Like, you have, you serve a different, you know, function in her life than this boyfriend does.
Yeah.
So they're not, it's not like one or the other. It's like she probably needs you because she can't have certain conversations with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also I would look at it in terms of like, how would you want to be treated? If you were with a guy who, obviously you wouldn't think, oh, I'm with a guy who's controlling me, but if you were with a guy that you knew a good friend of yours didn't like, how would you want her to act?
Yeah, just be at peace with it. I mean, also this woman, she sounds like she's in love. So that's good. That's like really nice for her. And like, you know, if he's not horrible, he just seems like kind of a classic, dumb, simple guy. You know, just kind of a, like, base, like a little offensive, a little maybe like not really getting some social cues, maybe a little bit like dated. And I mean, that's kind of how dudes are sometimes.
Yeah, if you're a straight woman, you're going to, some duds are, I mean, come on, there's going to be some duds in
there.
I think really that is what it is. You have to let go. And it's like, sure, if she starts talking about like, something where she's like not sure, then maybe you can use that as a chance to be like, I think maybe it's, you know, maybe this seems like he is gaslighting you, or maybe, you know, but I think you have to wait for the opening. You can't bring it up.
For sure.
Unless
then
it
you'll
presents
be,
itself.
Then you'll be a trusted confidant instead of her avoiding talking about him with you, because then she'll know that, like, you know, I can't talk to her about it, because then she'll just always blame it on him. So it's like, just be a good friend and listen. And, you know, sounds like you're already a great friend for all the things you've done. So,
Yeah. Plus, you know, I mean, like, women live longer than men.
So,
you guys will be together in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat some cheesecake together.
You guys will be together in the end.
Start planning your Golden Girls situation.
Oh, my God. I love that, just like Barbara just shoehorned in the darkest statement that we, everyone almost just let go. I was like, whoa, hey, everybody, pause.
I mean, well, all the men
together
are just a blip on our, you know,
timeline.
Well, the Golden Girls really set us all up to be like, oh no, we'll all have dead husbands in about 15 years at the end.
I will say
wild.
Something adorable to counter that. When I taught senior citizens aerobics, I sometimes would teach in the retirement home, and two people in their 90s started dating in my class.
That's cute.
Oh my God.
I know. No. I know.
My grandmother actually started like dating much, much later in her life. And this is actually, if I may, this is like one of, it's like so beautiful. My grandmother was married to my grandfather, like from like, I think right after high school, they got like married, went to college together, you know, adopted three kids, one of which was my father. Anyway, she divorced him in, I believe, 1979, 1980, something like that. She was then like a working woman. She was single. She was at this point, I believe, in her 40s. Mm-hmm. And she just like got into the workforce and like was doing her thing. And then starting in her, I think late 60s, maybe mid to late 60s, she joined a bridge team.
Yes.
She met a gentleman that was like a little older than her, only like maybe 10 years or whatever. Anyway, they're like fully in love. My grandmother is like, I think she's almost 90. I think she's in her mid 80s. He's like 90, and they're like teenagers around one another.
That's
and
so
she
cute.
Told me it's the first time she's ever been in love in her entire life
oh
is with
my
him.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And she found love in her first time in her life, and she was like, yeah, I think she must have been like 68, 67.
That's what I mean. Life that's can so be very long.
Life is very long, and there's so many things that happen that you have no idea how to project the trajectory of what could happen. Like, the fact, like, really, she's like, it's the first time I've ever been in love. Because she realized that, you know, there was something obviously so, like, symptomatic of a woman's, like, life during, like, she was, you know, this is in the 40s and 50s that my grandmother was, like, a young woman.
What's expected of you is so...
You just marry the guy that gives you the most attention in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you guys go, like, she, I mean, the fact that she even went to college, she went to Berkeley with him.
Yeah.
And, like... This is, you know, but it's like, yeah, you didn't, it wasn't about love. It was about logistics. Mm-hmm. It's about we come from the same type of family. Mm-hmm. We can agree on X, Y, Z, whatever it may be. It's just there was she. That's what's so fucking amazing. It's like, man, you were never in love until you were like in your late 60s. Yeah. So cool. I mean, that is like one of my favorite stories because there's like so much hope just like in it. You're just like,
that's beautiful.
I love that too, and you just know yourself so well by then, I'm assuming, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, so probably so amazing to meet someone at that point when you just are like so yourself, and there's no like... Like when you know dating, like when you're younger, and like who am I? Like am I,
you know, who are you? Just,
I have to pretend to be this or that. It's just not.
And there's so much societal bullshit that is super imposed onto younger relationships that it must be freeing.
Yeah,
to meet someone when you're older. And it's
no
like,
one's being
when
like,
are you guys getting married?
You're postmenopausal at that point. Like if anything, you're really looking at a pure partner, you know, somebody to spend your life with. It's not about like, what does this person offer me? It's like the purest thing. It's like, they only offer me, like, I like spending time with them.
Yeah.
Like that's just, it's just, I enjoy the time I have with this person, which is like, there's so much purity and like saccharine, like energy there. That's so sweet. I love it.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, tell your friend that she, this guy is not the one, but she'll probably find love.
Yeah, you can find love when you're old as hell.
Fuck yeah.
It's so cool.
I love that. Thanks,
Stay young. That's great.
That's awesome. Do you guys, there's a picture of Madonna, who's 61?
Oh, with one of her backup
dancers. With her 25-year-old backup dancers.
Beautiful.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I think Madonna is just like a cuddly person.
Yeah, that didn't look like anything. It was just it really looked like nothing. Yeah.
But she did fuck A-Rod for a long time.
Yeah.
God, it's just my hero. I just get really emotional when I think about Madonna and how
I
love her.
Did we say in the main feed that we like... took you to Madonna?
I don't know if we did because we talked about the secret. We surprised Tess with the Madonna concert like a month ago.
Where?
At the Wiltern.
At the Wiltern. She did like a residency there.
It's like tiny show at the Wiltern.
Yeah.
Was
it
like
amazing?
It was insane.
It was really
life changing.
She was like doing stand up.
She was doing stand up. She auctioned off a photo of herself for $5,000 because you couldn't bring your phones in.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it was such a boss move because she was like, I created this setup that makes this picture worth so much money. I'm Madonna. I'm still going to take your money.
Yeah.
That's so badass.
Yeah, some gay real estate guy brought 5K.
Of course. It's like nothing to him.
Yeah, he was just like in the front row. And you're like, yeah, of course.
So funny.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, I want to do that.
It's pretty sick. Go to patreon.com/ladylady if you want to hear that bonus episode.
All right. Thanks, Nina. Where can everyone find you on the internet or in life?
Pizza Party 69 is my Instagram handle.
That's amazing.
pretty easy. I don't go on Twitter, so don't really fuck with that. But I don't know. I'm like the only Nina Tarr. If you Google me, I'm like the only person that shows up. So that's kind of tight.
That's nice.
That's pretty nice.
So yeah, go see her do stand up. See me do stand up. Amazing DJ, amazing stand up.
Yeah, thanks, man. I perform a lot in New York and Los Angeles. I live back and forth. So if you're in LA or if you're in New York, you know, just. I got all my stuff on the internet. You can just look on my Instagram. It's there. There's stuff there. I'm a all vinyl DJ. I'm not like a douchebag computer person, but
that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So you can I DJ quite a bit. So you can come see me. All the ones and twos. A lot of funk. A lot of soul. A lot of boogie. A lot of the disco.
I got a question about that DJing.
Yes.
How do you find the song if it's in the middle of the album? Are you just like good at finding it? On a vinyl record.
So on a record, you can if you hold you it up to the light. You hold it up to the light and there's rings. So you can read it. It's like okay, track one, track two, track three. So it's usually like depends on obviously like the length of the album. But like, you know, let's say there's five songs on the A side and then seven songs on the B side. And you could just determine. And then you have a cue in your headphones. You have a button that you can hear it and then you cue it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start it, whatever it may be. So, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by that part where I'm always like, are they just... Where's the song?
Yeah, you can see it. You can like see it on the record and then take the needle and then you're just kind of like tooling around and then you can mix it in. You could also like, you know, if there's like an intro or outro of a song that you want to like either omit or add or whatever, you know, you can kind of, this is a fun little experiment, a little lab. I've been doing it for so long, DJing for like 11 years.
Yeah, so did you teach yourself at home?
I taught myself, I started DJing when I was 18 and then I like house parties and then I learned from a friend and like at his house he's like okay so, and obviously we sucked when we first started but and then I just kind of became a thing and then I've just been doing it for a long time.
Did you ever consider having a DJ pun name?
Yeah, I never did that. Yeah. I like just never. I don't. I just it's just Nina Tarr. I like. I don't know. I feel
you
like
got a good name.
Yeah, it's already.
Yeah.
A good
Yeah, not in high school. Nina Nina Retar. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
It's right there, guys.
God, high school kids are a bummer.
Nina Tard. Nina Nicotine Tar. I smoke a lot and like. It's all there. It's bad. So yeah, not a great name. But
I'm picturing you in high school, like if Mila Kunis played Janine Garofalo in Romeo and Michelle.
Whoa! Yeah,
I gotta draw that diagram in my head.
I was like a very negative person.
So yeah,
I was like this sardonic, elitist cunt.
Were you like very she's all that? Like
this is exactly.
I was
what?
Just like look at people. Like there would be like I don't know like boys in like Billabong tank tops that would make fun of me, and I would just be like. You're fucking trash with my like fucking thick. I'm like was such a dumb bitch though. I like was all like I love Immanuel Kant. I'm like what an insufferable person. Like what a horrible person to be around. I'm like oh well like have you read Noam Chomsky? It's like you're 16. You fucking dumb bitch. Shut up. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You just read books spine up so people will ask you about them. You fucking...
That's the glory of teenagers, though.
Yeah. Like,
You guys don't get it. It's like, no, your brain is literally not developed yet. You're like actually
it's
dumb.
So at work sometimes I'll work because I work at the Jewish Community Center and so they have like teen groups and I'll just like listen to them talking and like
they're
it's
so funny.
Unbearable.
Oh, man.
They're insane.
Ooh. They're horrible. Yeah. The way that teenagers talk, like, oh my God. God, what are they doing? They're awful people. They're probably the worst people on the face of the earth.
No. Teenagers are much better than junior high students.
Same, but I'm saying ages.
Early teens like 13, is for sure the
ages
worst.
Like, 12, 13 to like 17.
Yeah.
There's a
that's
market.
That's bad.
Because I used to substitute teach and like they are markedly more human. At like 15.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There is nothing more asinine than a 14-year-old.
Oh.
There is just...
Or, like, because, a 13-year-old, because they're... I mean, think about it, though. In their defense, they are budding with hormones.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
are angry. They are yeah. horny.
They just stopped being a kid, which sucks.
Yeah. Their language acquisition is not there. So they are, literally have an inability to express themselves in a cognitive level. Mm-hmm. They are, like, not they can bear, they're still an amoebic like worm human. They're larva. Okay, they're fucking larva, and they don't, and they're like, they're just getting boners and secreting.
I'm not larva, you're bad. Larva.
Ooh. And their boobs look weird, and like it's right when you gotta like start covering their bodies a little bit, you know, when you had like mosquito bites as like a kid, like I like, you know, when you're like
the
you have like weird like fat nipples because you're you're like boobs are coming in, you just have weird like chubby nipples, and your mom's like, okay, we're gonna take another thin piece of fabric and put it over because weirdly that's gonna mitigate the situation.
I don't remember my boobs happening.
I remember having fat nipples.
I've always had small boobs, so it was just kind of like
I got big boobs, but I literally don't remember like when.
I remember when they were pointed out to me for the first time and I started to hate them.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to Busch Gardens in 8th grade, and Monica, I won't say her last name, but I know who she is. And I had like taken off my t-shirt to go on a water slide. And she was like, oh, Brandy's got big boobs. And like, I just felt like four people look at me. And it was the beginning of, I was like, oh, someday I'm going to chop these off.
Oh,
and
my God.
And then I did.
You did?
Yeah, I got a breast reduction like 5 years ago.
Whoa, dude.
So, and they're still big.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, you're serving some looks, you know?
Yeah. They're still out.
Yeah, I remember having fat little kid nipples. And then the training bra situation was literally just, it's like whatever a t-shirt's made out of, let's just take that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And put elastic on it. That's a bra now.
That's where I am now. Yeah. I stopped wearing regular bras. And I don't have small boobs at all, but like, I just don't, I my tolerance for underwires is just completely dissipated.
Okay, this is going to be pretty crazy. This is good. Mic drop. I don't wear bras ever.
No,
I haven't worn a bra in like 6 years. I don't. I just never. I can't do it.
That's so jealous.
That's nice.
I could not ever do that.
I mean, you guys need the support. I like don't.
Yeah.
I can't. There's no way.
Do you ever feel self-conscious about like people staring at your nipples? Because I don't like wearing bras either. But sometimes I'm like, I don't care about nipples, but I know that other people
do. Okay, maybe this is maybe how I'm down to present myself to the world, which says a lot about me. I like wear shirts where my nipples are kind of out because I like wearing my nipples out.
See, I think there needs to be like Riley tried to make it happen, but like if we just all put our nipples out at the same time.
Yeah. I also got, I have set 1970s body. So I like got, like, I'm like, I always, the nips are out. Like I'm down. I don't care. And when people look at me with it, I'm all like, do it. What I fucking hate the most, being shamed about an outfit by somebody like this. Ooh, I was pissed at the Target in Eagle Rock.
our Target.
Dude, I'm buying fucking makeup, whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. This woman comes up to me with her son. She's holding his hand. He's like 11 years old. Okay, so this is like a weird, I'm like, yo, you're giving your kid already weird fetish shit.
Yeah.
She's holding his hand. She comes up to me and I'm wearing shorts and like a 60s like short dress. Over it. And she comes up to me. She's like, by the way, I just want to let you know that I can see your butt. I can see your underwear. Oh, no. She says, I can see your underwear. And I, in front of her, I lift my dress up and I go, these are shorts. And then she goes, okay, have a good one. Bye. And I'm just all like, suck my dick, lady.
Fuck?
Yeah. Shame me? I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yeah.
Fucking go and shop. You don't come up to a fucking grown-ass woman and be like, by the way, your underwear showing. It's like, you know that this isn't fucking underwear.
It wasn't like, by the way, you have toilet paper on your shoe. No, it's like, by the way, you're a slut.
Yeah.
And I was all shitty. And then I just like flashed her in her stuff. I was like, you need this? Hey, boy. And then it's like this little boy mortified. I'm like, you're going to be so fucked up because of this lady. And I'm sorry. And you're probably going to jerk off to this moment.
Yeah, you're
like,
going to think about this forever.
Your mom's holding your hand. So dark.
Can you wear these shorts at a Target for me?
You just gave your son, like, he's going to have to spend so much money on his sex habits.
Exactly. To be fair, every child growing up right now is so.
That's true.
He's just coming on bullseyes at home right now.
Oh my God. Okay, sorry. We were going to go out.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
See you on the Top Secret Session.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram @ladytoladycomedy.
join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794, Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.